is still going on today all over the world.
Native Solidarity News. It's about you, too. CKUT, CKDU, CFBEX, CFUV, CHFN, CHLY, CHMA, CHSR, CJLY, CJSF, CJSW, Radio 90.
Based on land. Land is the basis of all independence.
All right, welcome to NSN, Native Solidarity News. I'm here with Dan and JJ, and my name is Urquhart. Here we're going to bring you some features, some news, everything from our Nation of the Red. We're going to play some music. We've got a little classic one here. This is Starwalker from Buffy St. Marie. Back here, we got Dan with the news, and yeah, how you doing, Dan?
Good, Urquhart. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I had a fantastic weekend.
Nice. So later on in the show, we're going to be hearing an interview edited by JJ with Taika Alfred about decolonization and building an indigenous North American movement for autonomy and self-determination, and that'll be coming up in the second half of the show. So now, Urquhart and I are going to do something a little special. This was written by Tom Purcell for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and it's a conversation between a father and son.
Dad, why does America celebrate Columbus Day?
Well, Billy, in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed from Europe to America and founded the very first settlement in the New World. His arrival marks the beginning of America as we know it.
But didn't he discover America by accident, Dad?
Columbus believed the Earth was a sphere. He thought he could reach the Far East by setting off on a westward course. Though he stumbled upon what is now the Bahamas by accident, he was still a great explorer and a great man, Billy.
A great man, Dad, or a racist oppressor?
Pardon me, son?
When Columbus came to America, he brought with him the great greed of the white European males who subsequently colonized America for the dough. They fought and they killed the indigenous people who were already here and took their land and their gold. Columbus was eventually died a very rich man.
Well, Billy, an unfortunate part of human history involves countries invading their neighbors to take control. This has happened in many parts of the world, including Europe, which has a long history of war. But remember that indigenous peoples were also prone to war and fighting to expand their control well before Europeans arrived.
Well, Columbus is also responsible for very many germs and diseases that Europeans brought to America, causing untold suffering and death among the people who were here before us.
Have you been drinking too much caffeine lately, Billy?
America's history of environmental destruction can also be laid at Columbus's feet, Dad. As soon as the Europeans colonized America's pristine lands, they cut down the trees and they plowed up the fields. Can you say soil erosion, Dad?
Son, did I ever tell you that you take after your mother's side?
And what about slavery? It was Europeans who created a flourishing slave trade in America. They did it to develop the land cheaply so they could make giant profits. Columbus even made slaves out of some of the indigenous people who attacked him and his men.
Son, do you remember where your mother hid the bourbon?
I'll tell you another thing, Dad. The only reason we even celebrate Columbus Day is because he was Italian. And that day is also a celebration of Italian heritage. When FDR made Columbus Day official in 1934, he did not just because Columbus discovered the New World, but because the Italian immigrants in America represented millions of votes.
Look, Billy, there are lots of ways to look at what Christopher Columbus symbolizes. You can focus on the negative attributes, and there are some, or you can do what America has been doing for many years now. Focus on the positive.
Positive, Dad?
Sure, Billy. Columbus represents the spirit of exploration, the spirit of pushing forward into the great unknown to find greater and better things. This has always been the spirit of America, the land of innovation and new ideas.
What kind of ideas, Dad?
What about the ideas of freedom and self-government, Billy? After Columbus opened a gateway to the New World, other European countries established colonies here, too. Eventually, some amazing historical figures would evolve in North America. They would create and fight for a way of life that has proved to be extremely successful. Their ideas are still spreading and changing the world for the better.
Really, Dad?
Yes, son. The concept of freedom has taken root so solidly in America that people are free to criticize or praise anything, including whether or not Christopher Columbus was a hero or an ogre, or whether or not Columbus Day should still be celebrated in America. Now, do you have any other questions about history?
Sure, Dad. Was Benjamin Franklin really a predatory male chauvinist womanizer?
And that, once again, comes from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Don't expect radio plays every week, only on specially racist holidays. But in the theme of Invasion Day, we have some more positive news from Venezuela. This comes from the Green Left Weekly. On October 12th, most countries in Latin America celebrated Día de la Raza, or Day of the Races, which in 1492 marked the beginning of the Spanish Empire's destruction of millions of years of the continent's indigenous history in just a few decades. Yet in Venezuela, the day is now commemorated as the Day of Indigenous Resistance. And to participate in public discussion about the impact of colonialism on indigenous communities and what can be done to redress this. According to the National Census, Venezuela has about 500,000 indigenous people, many living in 2,300 distinct autonomous communities. While there have been many gains made over the past 6 years, perhaps the most significant occurred on August 9th of this year, when, on ancestral lands in Santa Rosa de Tacata, Chavez, President Chavez, issued formal land titles over traditional lands to representatives of the Carina peoples. Noheli Pocatera, indigenous activist and member of the Presidential Commission, said at the ceremony, Simon Bolivar, the first liberator, gave back the lands, the best lands, to the original inhabitants. But President Chavez is the first president to ever do this to dispossessed indigenous peoples. According to Pocatera, recognition of ancestral lands was a precondition for advancing the missions with indigenous communities. For the first time in Venezuela, he continues, there is justice for our people. These lands have a great magic and spiritual feeling for our indigenous peoples, and is life for us. Venezuela's Bolivarian Constitution devotes its entire eighth chapter to indigenous rights, outlining land rights and the state's obligation to promote indigenous cultural values and to consult with communities regarding activities such as mining and development. There is a guaranteed presence of three indigenous members in the National Assembly and one state governor. There are also indigenous deputies in the state parliaments and in the ministries, such as the National Youth Institute. The Bolivarian state also recognizes traditional medicine and complementary treatments and protects collective property, knowledge, and technology. And this, again, comes from the Green Left Weekly. And so we're going to wrap up this news segment with one more piece from Venezuela, this time from Cultural Survival. On October 28th, Venezuela will distribute 28 different indigenous language textbooks to indigenous schools throughout the country. La Agencia Bolivariana de Noticias, the ABN, reported the Ministry of Indigenous Education as saying, "We hope to bring these books to all the natives who live dispersed throughout national territory. For this reason, the books will be sent to all the regions where we have detected indigenous groups." End quote. The books that will be available to indigenous youth include dictionaries, grammar textbooks, beginning reading textbooks, and other basic education books. According to ABN, Pocatera emphasized that the Ministry of Indigenous Education has created schools which respect the use of indigenous languages, traditions, customs, and values. So it looks like things are pretty all right in Venezuela. Hopefully we can do some interviews there soon and hear straight from people in the communities how they react to these policies and what they think of Chavez. So that does it for these new segments. We're just going to take a quick music break, and we'll be right back with more Native Solidarity news.
All right, yeah, this one's an oldie, but a goodie. That was Glass Tiger, Native Son. That's from their Thin Red Line album. Right now, we're going to be going right to our feature, but JJ is going to introduce that for us.
Yes, thank you, Urkar. So our feature this week is has been edited down from audio that was provided to us from an ongoing work focusing on natives in Canada and Palestine. So if you like what you hear, you can get more information and information on how to support this educational documentary at 514-398-6788. We'll repeat that number again at the end of the feature if you're interested in finding out more about it. It's an interview with Tayayage Alfred. He is a Gunyungahage, a philosopher, writer, and teacher. He is currently the Indigenous Peoples Research Chair at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. He was born in Montreal and raised in the community of Ganawage, and has written two books, Peace, Power, Righteousness, An Indigenous Manifesto, published by Oxford University Press in 1999, and also Heeding the Voices of Our Ancestors, Ganawage, Mohawk Politics, and the Rise of Native Nationalism, also Oxford University Press, 1999. So he is talking about decolonization and an Indigenous movement to regain self-determination. So, without further ado, we will start that feature.